thanks, Father. Give you thanks that you're a God that inhabits the praises of your people, Lord. You're a God that loves to mingle, Father God, and let us linger in your presence, Father God. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you're here today, Lord God, to minister to hearts, Lord God, to minister to situations and circumstances that, Father, each and every single one of us may be facing, Lord. But, Lord God, we just come, Father God, so very boldly, Father, into your presence today, Lord. Lord, with soft hearts toward you, Lord God, a heart of love and adoration, Lord, a heart of worship for you, Lord. And Lord, our prayer this morning, Lord, is that you would minister among us. Our heart and hope, Lord God, is that you would come and Lord God, touch those very areas, Lord, where we have need, Lord, where we have circumstances or situations that we might be facing, Father. Perhaps even an area of adversity, Lord God, that we've been confronting. Lord God, we ask that you come and, Lord, just download that wisdom that we need, that insight, Lord God, that glimpse, Father, and, Lord, that word from you, Lord, that we can hang on to and even speak and declare and decree today, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father. Our hearts are open to receive, Lord God, ready, Father God, for you to work and minister among us today in Jesus' name. And everybody that's just in that place of worship said amen, amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Thanks, team. Why don't we give that team a little hand clap there, a little show of appreciation. They do work so very hard to get us into that place, and we should draw on that gift of worship that they function and operate in. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been going into a series, and it's a series I believe that's really dear to the heart of God because, it's about our pathway with Him. It's about our walk with Him. It's about our, our ongoing maturity and, of course, the actions that we need to take. Having understood God's love for us, and specifically that, you know, He loves us right where we are. He loved us where we were before we came and gave our lives to Him. You know, He, in view of that great love for us, we have to remember that He doesn't want us to stay where we are. You know, His love reaches us, we get to acknowledge it, recognize it, appreciate it for all it is, but He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us as mature sons and daughters. And, you know, what that means is that we can't park and just, you know, let the world go by sort of thing, and we can't camp where we are. We have to work out what it is to move on and with what God wants us to move on with. It's not so much about, and remember this, obviously we're in a series like this, it's not about me discovering where you are. It's not about the pastors in the church. You know, Rosemary and I are not thinking through the church contact list going, now where are they? Where are they at? Where are they at? You know, it's not like that. And it's more about, you know, establishing an environment where people's hearts are open for God to come and minister, and actually for you to understand where you are and for you to understand what things you should be doing to move on that path of maturity. You know, it's you discovering where you are, you know, looking into that that mirror of His word. And again, who's the first person you should be honest with? Yourself. I like that. You know, some of you heard me say that before, evidently. But that's the first person we should be honest with, is that person in the mirror, the person that we see there. And, we've seen that the Lord begins His relationship with us through the new birth. That's that part where He's now able to contact us, minister to us, reach our hearts, minister through our lives. And that's so very important that we understand that. And Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And so it's important that we understand that. You know, there is that sinner to saint transition. You know, there is that point where we know that we came to Christ. Now, for kids who grew up in church, and sometimes that point of salvation is hard to define, you know. I remember what it was like because I as a child went to the local Methodist church. It's just around the corner. I could ride my bike there. And I did for a little while, and by myself without supervision, which was pretty special to me. But you know, the thing was is that in the Sunday school they talked about Scripture, they talked about the things of the Lord, but at no point was there an understanding that I must be born again. And I can't recall at that little Methodist church in Morley ever saying a prayer of salvation. It could have happened, but I couldn't recall it. And so for me, that sinner to saint transition happened when I was 21 years old, and a friend of mine, strangely enough, invited me to go to a church in Morley, and where the strong message from the pulpit was is that you need to be born again, that you won't see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And I'm so glad I found a church which was teaching that truth, and they were having revival. People were coming in and people were receiving that, and all walks of life were coming in and receiving Jesus for the first time and understanding what that meant. And of course, having, most importantly, a transformational experience. All right? Very, very important to be able to talk about that transformational experience. You see, he makes us new creations. Remember that. He makes us new creations when we have that sinner to saint transition. You know, in fact, we're created for good works. He does a work on the inside of us. Remember, it's not saved by good works. It's created for good works. There's a big difference there. He saves us and then says, these are the good works I have prepared for you. And he has things for us to do. And just recently, I think it was down there, I was sitting in a little church in Bridgetown, just had my own little revelation sitting there by myself and realizing that, you know, when we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, you know, not talking about the great white throne judgment, we're not talking about that judgment, we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ that the church will stand before, believers will stand before and give account for their lives. I realized it was those good works that he's created us for that we'll be judged for. Those things that he's actually prepared beforehand for us to do. You know, and we wander off and get involved in doing other things and focused on maybe ourselves and things that are not as important to God as we would think. But it's those things. Another one that came through, the other one that came through the other night in the eCampus, I think it was Diana Chan, talking about giving account for every idle word. There's another one. We'll have to give account for that. You know, that when we just had careless conversations and said a few things, you know, things that you can say idly, thinking that it doesn't matter, and the scriptures say it does. We'll get to give account for that. Interesting, isn't it? Got to watch out for those idle words. We want to make sure that what comes out of our mouth is something that builds up and edifies and encourages. Got to watch that. That is such a balance and such a thing that God watches us to do, is to watch over what we say. Very important. We start to clean up our mouths. Only talking about it again, not to keep going on about VLBE campus, but we're sort of saying that, you know, we've got to watch what comes out of our mouths. In fact, the biggest problem that most of us have in our lives is right under our nose. Amen, Diane? It's our mouth, you know. It's what we say, what we're speaking, you know, what we're allowing ourselves to create for our situation. So these last few weeks, we've seen what it is to be a saint, sanctified, set apart by God, and we must be reminded it is something that the Lord does. He does the work of sanctification. He separates us. He calls us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and we are separated. And so very important. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm not sure that you've got it up yet, Johnson. But it's coming up, I'm sure. Hebrews chapter 10. I believe it's coming up. Won't be long now. Hebrews 10 verse 14. And it says, there we are. I was looking at the wrong screen. It was up the whole time, wasn't it? Yeah. There we go. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. For by one offering he has perfected forever. You know, you can go to your brother and sister in Christ right now and say, you know what, you've been perfected forever. Perfected forever. You know, it's a great truth to get a hold of. But not only that, but you're also being sanctified. You know, there's that work of continual separation that continues to work in our lives. So it's both sanctification, being a saint, is both a position and a process. You know, and that process of sanctification continues for all of us. There's no one that gets to a point and says, you know, you get ordained as a pastor and of course now you're sanctified and that's all, you know, for the rest of your lives. You know, they never have to do another thing. No, it's not like that. We have to keep on that process of sanctification. We're all being set apart for his use, and we get a hold of that. Don't be judging someone else for their rough bits, all right? Don't be judging others for their rough bits, okay? God is in the process of smoothing those off. That's how you need to look at someone else's got rough bits in their Christian life and their Christian walk. God's in the process of smoothing and dealing with that. You just focus on your own rough bits because we've all got them. Amen? Our own rough bits. So, you know, so essential that we get a hold of that. Look what Jesus taught in John 17. He said this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, separates himself, goes to heaven, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The word, you know, that word that comes from heaven, those downloads, that revelation knowledge that comes. You know, you get a word from God, a word that hits your heart and it's revelation to you, that separates you just a little bit more, doesn't it? For his purposes, his plans, his design, what it is that he's doing. You know, here is Jesus in his last hours on earth, you know, praying this prayer. He prays for the church and prays that you and I would be sanctified through the truth. And he said, your word is truth. And Jesus goes to the death of the cross, is resurrected, and then ascends to the Father, sends the Holy Spirit to usher in this now church age, which we are now in. Started as Jesus ascended, the church ascended, the Holy Spirit came, filled the church, and the Holy Spirit is now that same change agent that's at work. He leads, he guides into all truth, and of course shows us things to come. And that's a relationship that we can walk out with him, where he's just, you know, leading and guiding us into all truth, showing us things to come. Where we're not so much led by our head, but by our heart, as the Holy Spirit ministers in us and through us. You know, it's critical that we as a people of the Word and the Spirit, you know, that we understand that the Word sets us apart. If we don't, we'll be just caught up doing what we feel like, doing what seems advantageous at the time, or that seems like, you know, a good thing to do. You know, we're all called to the discipline of being both hearers of the word and doers of the word, and actually recognizing that leading of the Spirit is so essential to become sensitive to in our Christian lives, you know, where he directs us and leads us. And even sometimes around the word of God, when you hear something you think, that doesn't quite feel right, that you know, I'll just wholesale accept that, I might just wait off a little bit and pray about that. And that's the lifestyle he has called us to. And where we've come to in this series is that in being delivered and set free from the kingdom of darkness, translated over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, set apart by God, he now wants us to serve him. Okay, he now wants us to serve him. And of course, the things that we're talking about are really the conditions that should be alive and well in our hearts. You know, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, an appreciation of the Word of God, and a daily appetite for the Word of God, that then should actually allow us to start serving him. And not only just serving him, but being very accurate in that service. And these are the reasons why we talk about going on to maturity, because it does involve those things, disciplines. Someone said that when Jesus comes back, we at least should look busy. You know, we at least should look busy. So, you know, being about the business of the kingdom is about being busy with his purposes, with his plans. So we go from being a people set apart by God to a people set apart for service. You know, it's another level, isn't it? It's another level that we go to. So saint to servant. So sinner to saint to servant. And it rhymes. You don't stop being a saint, you go on from there serving. You know, you're still a saint, you're still sanctified, set apart for his services, and we continue along with him. And so we should know how to serve him. And that's really where we got to in this series so far. We should know how to serve the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 1 to 2 says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And present your bodies to God, which is your reasonable service. That's right. And we'll read on. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want you to just take notice of that word reasonable. Okay? Reasonable service, it says. And I want you to look at it. This is out of the New American Standard version. It says this: therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Now, I'll just let you in. This morning, the Lord woke me up with this particular verse, with this particular emphasis on that word there that is translated in one as reasonable service and in another translation as spiritual service. See, reasonable service makes you go, well, that's rational. That's fair enough. We should serve the Lord in view of all he did for us. He went to the cross for us, you know, and you could go, well, it's reasonable, rational for us to serve him. But this is something a little bit different, which is your spiritual service of worship. And if you look at the word is a Greek word, logikos. And what it speaks of is, what it really speaks of is a divine rational. In other words, it makes sense to God. Makes sense to God. And what makes sense to God comes down to us as faith. Amen? What makes sense to God comes down to us and reaches our heart as faith, because he speaks the word to us. I was woken this morning, as I say, with this particular word. I got to the point where I had to get up because the Lord was showing me this particular truth. He was giving it to me out of the New American Standard Version. And I had to get up because it was just rolling through my spirit and my heart. Spiritual service. Spiritual service. Because we have to serve him from our spirits. We move over into this area of serving the Lord out of our head and out of pattern, behavior. This is the way we've always done it. And people do look... Look, let's just face it, okay, there's one thing that Karl Marx said that was true. He did say this, that religion was the opiate of the people. You know, and it was a very interesting terminology, because that's what he saw, is that people were dulled and comforted by it. And, you know, in some respects, that's an interesting way of actually looking at the effect of religion. What we need to receive into our lives is that spiritual connection with the Father. That's how we don't get dulled and comforted into it, but rather actually energized by it, because as we start to walk with the Lord. And here we see the Lord wanting us to serve him with verses like this: from the new man, from the spirit and the heart. While a sense of duty and devotion sometimes may be a motivator for some, and of course, you know, get people up and active, you know, seeing that something needs to be done and you get in and do it because it just needs to be done. I tell you, God wants us to serve him out of that new creation that we are, from the spirit, from the heart. The Lord is looking for service from the spirit and not from the head. He doesn't want us serving from the flesh, you know, just like we can't make ourselves good by works of the flesh. He doesn't want us serving from the flesh, that lower nature, the old man. It's the new man that was created for good works. Get that? Isn't that amen? It's the new man that was created for good works, not the old man. So let's serve God from the heart through faith. You know, those downloads from heaven. You know, that sensitivity to his spirit, step by step in life. Oh, well, this year I served in this area of ministry in the church, but I really feel the Lord wants me to do something else this year. We had that back in our Bible college days. We're doing different things in the church at different times and different seasons. And, you know, I was one stage, I was in the photography roster, where I was down the front taking photos and for their publications. And then another time we're in the counselling. And before that, I was in the ushering department. And funny thing was, is I learnt more about the Spirit of God, about the Holy Spirit, through serving, than I did just by reading books and reading my Bible and things like that. It was actually through being active and being up and doing something that I learned more about the way that the Holy Spirit, the way that he equips, the way that he empowers, the way that he lifts us to a place of service in him. But it's very interesting. That Greek word logikos is what is logical to God, working through the divine reasoning known through faith. Wow, what a great way of understanding that scripture. So what we saw last week was that God has given us gifts to serve him, and this is how we work with him. Okay, we don't serve in our own strength or in our own ability. We serve with the ability that he gives. And if you remember, we called those motivational gifts. Each one of us have one. In fact, most of us will have one that we're strong in and also have a secondary gifting as well. And of course, we looked at that. And there are actually three sets of gifts, okay? Three sets of gifts given by God to the church. You may not function and operate in all of them, but they are something that we should be aware of. We're looking at the moment at the motivational gifts, okay? The perceiving is registered as prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, administration, mercy. These are all gifts mentioned there in Romans chapter 12, and I'll read on to Romans chapter 12, and we can go back to that in a minute. But for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. That's the perceiver gift. Go back to that. And then it says, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, that's serving. Let us use it in our serving or ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, and these gifts that are there, administration, leading, mercy, these are all gifts that you'll find are dominant in your life that you're already functioning and operating out of, most likely. And it's what's really interesting, these are God-given gifts, gifts that were there, and I believe, from our mother's womb, that God planted that into our life. It's not something you get when you get born again. That's where people make the mistake. It's actually there. And of thinking. And of course, you know, the interesting thing, and what I want to do is I just want to draw your attention. I have 20 surveys here, okay, so obviously they'll run out pretty quickly. But for those of you who are eager to do a survey where you can actually do from, you know, never, seldom, sometimes, usually, mostly, always, as being number five, I'll say it again, never, one, seldom, two, sometimes, three, usually, four, mostly, always, number five, okay, is like, for instance, for the mercy gift, it says, number one, finds it easy to love people. Most of us will go, never. But no, some of us will say, always, you know. So we'll be somewhere on that spectrum. But if you just be honest with yourself as you answer that, drawn to wounded and distressed people. You know, someone might say, you know, seldom. Others might say, always. So those ones that are honest with themselves and say always are going to find that they're going to start seeing a pattern very quickly, that they're up in the fours and fives and threes. And, you know, leads by the heart, not by logic. I say that's a real good one, because so often when someone's got a gift and they're stepping into it, they're coming from the heart, not from the head. Amen? And we get to understand that that's how God wants us to serve Him. He wants us to know our gifts and put them and activate them, put them in place so that we can serve others with them. Amen. So I've got 20 of them here, and you can go through. It's not just the mercy one. You've got all of them there. And it also talks about the areas of weakness that come with that gifting. Finds it hard to make decisions. Too easily hurt by others. Takes on another's offence and or suffering. And, you know, and of course it sort of goes on. It goes through the weaknesses of those different ones as well. I won't go through them. They are there for you to grab a hold of. Now, if we run out, you come down the front, and those, and you can put on the back page here. You can see that you can actually put your score down there, and you'll quickly work out what your primary gifting is, and also what your secondary gifting is, and you can actually, you know, note that down, put your name and date on it. If you want to hand it back in, bring it back next week and give it to me. I'll have a little in-tray here next week, and that's because it helps us to know what those giftings are. So you might be quietly sitting there with an amazing gift that you know is, you so want to be used by the Lord, and we just haven't seen it, haven't recognised it, and so very important. Yes, there you go. I will get an in-tray for that, because it needs an in-tray. You know that, don't you? And if anyone doesn't get one, let me know, and we'll make sure that that's made available. You know, it's important to point out that these gifts are given to us, you know, for the Lord's service. And we touched on this a little bit. Those gifts are not for building ourselves up. Those gifts are not for, you know, elevating ourselves. They are for the Lord's usage. You know, and, you know, there's a need to honour Him for the gifting. You know, they were given on the basis of grace, installed by Him. And as I say, I suspect from our mother's womb. And they're not given for our esteem. They are for serving Him. We want to get that part right as we recognise that in serving the Lord, the best way we can serve Him is with the gifts that He's given us. Amen? Amen. So here's another one in Romans. Went back to there. 1 Peter 4:10. I love this as well. It says, just as each one of you has received a special gift, a spiritual talent, an ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another, as is appropriate, for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favour. Get a hold of that. You see, one thing that we should see is a man's gift makes room for him. You know, and that's so important. Romans 18 verse 6. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. You know, the gifts do elevate you. Make sure it's not you elevating yourself with your gift, sticking it out and sticking it in front of people. You know what I mean? To get some type of a thing from it. The need is, and we should realize this, is that they should cause us to shine for Him, not for us. And there's just a little bit of a balance there that we should give ourselves to. You know, the need is to begin to use the gift to glorify God, to bring attention to Him and not to ourselves. Not one of God's gifts are given to lift us up and make people stand in awe of us. You know, they're always to bless others and cause people to stand in awe of God. You know, getting our motive right is so important. Our serving should be done through the strength that He gives, not our own strength. That is a gift in operation. It shouldn't wear you out when you are serving the Lord in the gift that He's given you. It shouldn't wear you out, because it's His capability, His capacity, and His supernatural strengthening that's at work. And, you know, and if it is wearing you out, you have to come back to the point, am I serving the Lord from my spirit? Or am I serving the Lord out of my head? Am I serving the Lord out of my ability, not God's ability? You know, you shouldn't serve, also, very important, you shouldn't serve so that you deserve. I'll just put this out as well. You shouldn't serve so that you deserve. That's a carnal use of your gift and service. That's just serving with strings attached. There's a string attached to that service. In other words, there's that, you know, that the activity of that gift is for the purpose of not serving the Lord, but serving our own needs. So we get that. That's a wrong attitude. And you know, here's the attitude: if I'm serving for long enough, seen by enough people, I'll be rewarded. Watch out for that attitude. That's a little area of adjustment that needs to be made. And sadly, it's an attitude that gets people nowhere. There's no progress in that attitude. It's the gift given by Him, used to serve Him and glorify Him, that we should concentrate and look on and look to specialize in. That's the ticket that will get you where God wants you. It's just coming out of that gift, coming out of that anointing. And it's a joy to serve the Lord. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Serving God is about working with Him, not for Him. Amen? Working with Him, not with Him. And again, it seems like a subtle difference, but some people need to just look at that subtle difference and go, you know, I'm going to serve the Lord by walking with Him and not working for Him. And, you know, this is how we become equated with those giftings and those functions. The way that the anointing operates is by, we say, I'm going to work with God, not just for Him. And remember, we made that statement last week: your gifts will take you where only character will keep you. And that's such an essential passage for this type of teaching, is that your gifts will take you where only character will keep you. And, you know, lift it up, you know, with His gifts, you know, find ourselves before, you know, with great things going on, and only to find that it's a character that, brings a person undone. Let's just consider those world-renowned ministries that we've seen and heard even lately, that become highly successful in their impact, you know, amazing worldwide reach, gaining followers in their tens and their hundreds of thousands, and when they, you know, and then where their key leadership figures then have moral failures, you know, what's going on there? Is Mike, what is going on there? You know, they should have checked what they were building on, because we need to build on the right foundation, don't we? They should have checked what they were building on. Should have realized that they're to build on your success is shaky foundation. We have to build on what God's done. We have to build on what God's given us. We have to build on His gifting in our lives, because, you know, otherwise we'll find ourselves building on the wrong foundation. Maybe success. You have something that works well and it's success, and it goes to your head maybe. You know, I don't know what happens. But, you know, it's those foundations that we need to watch for. We should always look to build on character and keep checking that the growth and development of our ministry is on the foundation of Christ-like character and not on gifting. All right? Not on gifting. Or the success that the gifting brings. Christ-like character. Now, where does that come from? Well, we've had a look at that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23. What is it? The fruit of the Spirit. We build on that. We build on ensuring that we continue always to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Great verse. Let's just consider, you know, how, you know, if these ministries had been developed on these things. And notice how faithfulness is among the fruits of the Spirit. You know, what I mentioned right there is important. Being faithful with our gifting is key to serving God. That's really what we're talking about, being faithful with that gifting. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. We'll just be faithful and just making sure that our attitudes are right, our thinking's right, that we're only, you know, wanting to serve the Lord out of a right heart. If we'll focus on that. It says that whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. You know, so I think of some of those ministries that are out there that have had those moral failures, and the hurt and the damage and the impact of that on the body of Christ is you couldn't even begin to measure that. It's horrible. But what if those ministries and those particular ones who had the failure were quick to do something about it, you know, in the little things, where the very embryonic stage said no, not going to allow that, not going to have that, you know, and was transparent about it, instead of hiding it, letting darkness just thrive, you know. How important it is, you know, in the exercise of giftings from God, the foundation of faithfulness is critical. We need to be faithful to the Lord. Luke chapter 16 is also a good one. It says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you what is your own? It's just a bit of a change, but again, the key is faithfulness. Being faithful in that which is another man's. In other words, I'm going to serve, I'm going to get involved, I'm going to get, you know, this ministry and this vision that's here, I'm going to get involved, I'm going to, you know. And here's the thing, if you spend your time undermining and being unsupportive of another person's gifting or calling, you know, how can God give you what is yours? And this is what the Lord's talking about. You know, the pattern for the New Testament church leadership was to keep building up faithful men and women. And I believe that's the mature sons and daughters of God that we talk about. 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul. And I'm just going to go a little bit fast now. We're nearly out of time. 2 Timothy, looks like it never made its way into the slides, but it says this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, it says, you therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me, say among many witnesses. Entrust them to faithful men who will be qualified to teach others also. The point is this, we're going to be faithful in that which is another man's. That involves our voice, our speaking, how we communicate. If we're going to be faithful in that which is another man's, we're going to support and encourage and lift up. And not only that, but in doing so, we actually entrust that to other people who will be faithful as well. If we show ourselves to be faithful, those that follow us will be faithful as well. Amen? You know, we're communicating that. We're either being an example of that, or we're being an example of something else. And that's what we've got to watch out for. What that which builds up and encourages, that which supports, and of course, I believe, you know, the work of undermining needs to be quickly identified and done. You know, you need to do something about it, because God will do something about it eventually if you don't. That's right. God will deal with it. So you know, I encourage you this morning, we're talking about serving and some principles we're putting out here about serving and how we're to serve the Lord. What a great thing it is that, you know, we come into the church and just realize that we've been wonderfully saved, you know, and of course, you know, we so much of our service is about that wonderful salvation that we received, Sheena's message there, you know, on communion and what the Lord's done for us at the cross. But, you know, as we go on in our Christian life, we realize that, you know, that He has made such great provision for us, not only just to be saints, but also to be servants and to serve Him with the giftings that He's put in our lives. And those services, we'll go on just touching on a few other little truths that we need to understand here. But the main one for us to get a hold of, the main one for us to get a hold of is that He has given us the gifts to serve Him with. And we should be aware of those. I'd like to think that all those surveys there will go today as people sort of grab those and say, I'd like to know what they are. I'd like to know what particular gifting is on my life and know where I'm strong. And not only that, but with a view that if it's not being put in practice, that you would find the opportunities to put that gift in practice and serve the Lord with it. So, Father, we again thank You for today, Lord God. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the ministry of Your word, Lord God, into our lives and hearts today, Lord. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Father God, that Your Holy Spirit has led us and guided us today, Lord God, shown us things about Your word, Lord God, that we would not maybe have otherwise known. Lord, we thank you for revelation knowledge that we can tuck in our hearts. Lord God, make adjustments with, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for the mirror of your word today. Lord, we can look into your mirror and make those adjustments, Father, that need to be made. Father, we again thank you today for your word and the ministry of your spirit. Lord, we ask today, Lord, that as we go from this place, we walk with you and we're able to talk with you. And Lord God, know your will and your ways for our life. And Lord, understanding those giftings, Lord, that you've placed in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, I'm just going to make an invitation before we close. I might ask the team to come. You know, if you're out there this morning and you have to say that there were some things in this word today that maybe, you know, you need to understand better, or that you know, maybe you didn't really feel that you understood that about a relationship with the Lord. But I just want to encourage you this morning that if you're here this morning and you say, I don't really know that I have a relationship with the Lord, I want you to know and understand that that relationship is available. And if you'd like to come after we finish this song, I'd love to pray a prayer with you that brings you through to that place. It's called the Prayer of Salvation. And I encourage you to pray that prayer. We're going to dismiss now. There will be some food being served. If you have any other prayer needs, please feel free to come on down the front. And, we'd love to pray with you over anything, whether it be a healing or a need of some kind, something you're facing. But if it's an area of gifting, we'd love to, Rose and I, just love to have a quick word of prayer with you and see the Lord's blessing overtake you. Amen. So God bless you all. Let's have some worship.